Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, where we'll talk with real estate investors, entrepreneurs, business leaders, athletes, and more to inspire you with their success stories so you can work hard, never give up, and dream huge. And now, let's start the show.
Episode 39.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dream Huge Podcast, hosted by Mark Gray. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Excellent, buddy. Justin Bigelow. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing great.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. And myself, Pete Peterson. Folks, we love to share success stories from huge dreamers, folks in the real estate business, entrepreneurs, movers, shakers, influencers, and more. Hopefully, these interviews and stories will help to motivate and inspire you to dream huge. And today, we welcome our very special guest, Coach David J. Greer. How you doing, Coach David?
I'm doing great. Really excited to be on the Dream Huge Podcast.
Man, excellent. Thank you for taking the time. Appreciate that. Hey, folks, David works directly with entrepreneurs to coach them to their next level of success or with senior management teams to create high-growth strategic results. So, Mr. David, tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
Sure. I think it's easiest if I just start at the beginning of my career and take it up to where I am today and what I do today, so people can have a little more background. So, you know, at the age of 22, I was completing my degree in computer science at the university here in Vancouver, BC, Canada, where I'm based. And I was fortunate to join a young software startup as the first employee after the founders. And I liked the place. I stayed 20 years. We built it into a global powerhouse, did that by specializing in a particular part of the computer market and information technology, building products and services that people really, really valued. And my former partner and I had a policy. We wrote a new paper every year and traveled the world and gave presentations. So you'd great belief in this small, you know, Vancouver-based software company you're going to trust your whole business to.
Wow.
And fast forward, you know, 20 years, like most of our customers were, you know, 100 million plus kind of companies who were using this computer to run all the practical, you know, what to ship today, invoicing, orders, a lot of healthcare providers were also customers. So we, you know, we did this for 20 years and, you know, we came to a point where we could see the market was changing and it was probably going to come to some sort of end. We didn't know how fast. And my former partner and I had a major disagreement about strategy to move ahead. And both strategies, I think, were viable, but they didn't complement each other at all. And we solved that by him buying me out. So there I am in the early 2000s. Not noticing that the dot-com meltdown is happening, so I'm busy chasing deals. You know, I got a pretty decent check out of it and wasn't done for life, but I definitely didn't need to work right away.
Yeah,
for, you know, financial reasons. And someone smarter than me sat me down and said, David, you know, do you need to work right away or could you do something different? And she explained to me how she had had a similar career break. And she'd moved to Australia, bought a VW van, and toured around for a year. And I literally had the light bulb moment sitting in her office. I can still picture it, actually. With that, my wife and I decided to do something completely different. I'm a lifelong sailor, and we sailed with our kids since they were born. And so we commissioned a sailboat in the south of France. And we took our three kids and homeschooled them for 2 years while sailing more than 5,000 miles in the Mediterranean.
Wow. That is one hell of a Mediterranean cruise right there.
That's a journey.
Yeah. I'm thinking
people kept writing and saying, hope you're having a nice holiday. Right. I'm like, this ain't like any holiday you've ever been on.
2 years, you know, cruising the Mediterranean. What awesome memories, experiences you must have had, and the ability to be able to do that, that is just awesome.
You know, I meet a lot of people who dream, but very few who are willing to live their dreams. And, you know, one of the things I really appreciate, I didn't really realize how much I had dreamed. I'd read about long-term family cruising in books and articles for decades, but I didn't realize how much it was my own dream until this person, like, caused me to pause and stop and, like, oh, yeah, like, we could do this. And, yeah, it's a legacy that our family still draws from today. You know, we went 18 months without being in an English-speaking country.
That's like, amazing.
You know, what exactly impact does it have on my kids? I don't know, and it doesn't really matter. I just know that we're all different because of the experience.
You must have an amazing family as well, because you left with your wife and the three children, and you returned with your wife and the three children, correct?
Yes, and in April of this year, my wife and I celebrated our 40th anniversary.
So, excellent. You didn't drive each other crazy on the boat, in other words.
Yes. So the rule of thumb in long-term cruising is, like, if you survive the first year, then your relationship will probably last forever.
I could imagine. that year is the...
If you can last together, sailing together, and sailing through storms together, let alone the whole homeschooling piece.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It's just an incredible experience.
Very cool.
Career-wise, came back to Canada. I then spent 3-4 years angel investing, looking at like 100 deals a year, investing in one, you know, working as a board of director, working, you know, on special projects for options. But I really found it just was not fulfilling given kind of my experience that I'd had in building the software company. And I hadn't really realized how uncomfortable I was until I was at an event. So I used Vern Harnish's stuff, The Rockefeller Habits, his book, Scaling Up 2.0. I used that framework in my work facilitating strategic planning. And anyways, I was with one of my young CEOs of one of these startup companies at a Vern Harnish event. In 2007, and there were a couple coaches in the back of the room, and one of them made me more uncomfortable than I had been in a number of years. I actually had tears in the corner of my eyes. But what it really highlighted was how unfulfilled I was in my work.
Yeah.
And, you know, his card sat next to my phone for 3 weeks, and that phone must have weighed at least 10,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, I kept looking at the card, but I couldn't pick up the phone. And thankfully for me, Kevin called me and he said, you remember who I am? And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember who you are. And he said, I thought there was a real spark in our conversation that day. What do you think? And I hired him as my coach.
Gotcha.
So on my 50th birthday, August 9th, 2007, we did our first coaching session together. And for Kevin, if you become a client of his, or at that time, if you became a client of his, your opening coaching was 2 8-hour days back to back. So, like, but I'm, you know, I'm the kind of entrepreneur, I'm like all in or all out.
Yeah.
That's why the angel investing didn't work. I wasn't all in. But with Kevin, I was all in. And, you know, we reestablished my career. And then, you know, 18 months after we worked together, you know, I admitted to Kevin that I had a drinking problem. And I did have a drinking problem. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. And Kevin, thankfully, his summer place was down in Washington State. He'd sat around the campfire for many summers with a guy with many decades in AA. And so he coached me to go to AA. And that was a Tuesday. I committed to him to go to a meeting by that Friday. Being the all-in, all-out overachiever that I am, that afternoon I looked up online, and lo and behold, I was at a networking event downtown until 8. But there was a meeting at 8:30 that was literally on the road I was going to drive home on.
Like it was meant to be, almost.
Totally.
Yeah.
And in fact, the universe put Kevin in my path to get sober. That's what I deeply believe. And I went to my first meeting, and I was there last night actually, at the same meeting. I made it my, what we call an AA, your home group, which is basically a group you commit to going to every week and being part of. I recently celebrated my 5,000th day of sobriety.
Man, excellent. Congrats.
Which for someone like me is a miracle.
Yeah.
So I did a few executive gigs, usually senior sales and marketing roles, usually working hand in hand with an entrepreneurial friend of mine and behind the scenes helping work on strategy. And I came out of my last gig, which was a senior role as a VP of marketing for a telematics company here in Vancouver, publicly traded, kind of doing $35 million a year. And I decided, I'd had enough of being senior executive and working that hard. And I made a decision working with Kevin to become, an entrepreneurial coach and facilitator. And really, my reason why is pretty simple. I want to help other entrepreneurs the way Kevin has helped me.
Sure.
And so for the last 7 years, I have a thriving one-on-one coaching practice where I work directly with entrepreneurs. And then the other big part of my business is I facilitate strategic planning using Rockefeller Habits templates and toolkit with the entrepreneurs and their senior leadership team. So, and there's a pulse and a rhythm to doing that. Which is we do, clients that want to work with me on facilitation have to agree to one day a quarter offsite, for three quarters of the year, and then 2 days offsite to do the annual plan for the next year or the first quarter. And I'm moving into that stage of my calendar where I'm doing a lot of that over the next 4 or 5 weeks. What I decided 2 years ago was that I would, in particular, focus on entrepreneurs that are challenged with alcoholism and addiction, whether they're still actively out there or, when you get into recovery as an entrepreneur, it has its own special challenges, which I understand because I'm an entrepreneur and I'm in recovery. So, and that's everything from, there's a real culture in our society in high-end sales that, you close sales by going out for dinner with the prospects and drinking a lot of booze.
Sure.
Right? And if you're on the kind of company where you as the entrepreneur are expected to be at those dinners, in the final stages of closing, what the hell do you do? How do you show up for those situations? So it's everything around that. It's just, again, because I've been there, it's an area that I specialize in. So sure. If you're listening today and you're in recovery, but you're still struggling to, how do you merge that with your business? I'm happy to talk. And if you're just struggling with alcoholism or addiction, happy to talk about that. And for any of your listeners, whether you have those challenges or not, I'm always prepared to do a 1 hour, no charge coaching call.
Sure, love it. So it sounds like you definitely found a niche there, and it may be a huge niche. Many folks deal with addiction, let alone entrepreneurs, folks that are dealing with added stress of being an entrepreneur, and sometimes they can lean on addiction. Substance abuse is, I'd be curious to see what percentage of entrepreneurs are alcoholics. What's the actual number there?
So I've spent a lot of time trying to get the answer to that question, and it seems unanswerable currently. Yeah. Partly because part of why I'm public about my recovery is that there's still so much stigma attached to alcoholism. If you break your leg, people understand, you wear a cast, you go to the doctor, you take time off. If you're an alcoholic, there's still a lot of people think it's a moral failing. It's a mental health disease.
Yeah.
And so when I go ask people who are researchers and do surveys and collect data on this, they're like, well, but no one wants to self-admit they're like an entrepreneur and an alcoholic. So because of that, we don't have any data.
Right. It's like, yeah, how many actually have a problem? How many are willing to admit they have a problem? And when is it actually considered a problem? These are conversations that many folks are having with themselves, correct?
Yeah. And then COVID has really, you know, more people died in 2020 from the direct result of alcoholism than did from COVID.
Wow.
Unreal. In the United States.
That was the real epidemic.
Yeah, and that's why Biggie does not drink.
Yes, I've never drank.
Justin, by the way, just to get a little perspectives of the hosts here, Justin has never drank, and he did 4 years in the Navy.
Yes, four and a half years in the Navy, and I never
military
drank.
Military guy, just.
That's not a lie.
Right. 31.
Me, never on the other drank. Hand, I probably overdo it at times, but yeah, I know when to reel it in. Mark, what about you?
I've had my share.
Yeah. But man, no, that's tremendous that you're helping folks that have problem out there, and there's many that do.
Yeah. So in the United States, like the National Institute of Alcoholism and Addiction, and it's NIAAA, I forget the last A. You know, their guidelines are that if you have four drinks a week on a regular basis, then you are at supremely high risk of alcohol use disorder.
Wow. Four a week.
Four in a row. Not that you had four in a week.
Okay.
But that once a week, you're having four drinks, one after another.
Mm. Four in a row.
Yeah. With no, like, not taking a break and having, like, a glass of water or a non-alcoholic drink in between.
Yeah, see, that's my problem. I think I heard some similar advice to that, where you could have two a day safely. Well, I would just save those all up for Saturday night, and I would have 14 on Saturday night.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's really about your relationship to alcohol. It's not whether you're a daily drinker. It's not, we would call what you do is binge drinking. It's more how you feel afterwards. It's more what were your behaviors when you did that.
Sure.
You know, were you sending text messages at 2 o'clock in the morning that were completely inappropriate? Right. Are you completely embarrassed by the behavior that you had?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do you wake up and wonder what you did or what you said? Absolutely. Right. Yes.
Yeah, like blackout drinking, which is what you just described, where you wake up and you literally cannot remember, but you still were awake, like when it happened. That's another, you know, precursor or at least sign that you quite possibly have alcohol use disorder. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, I remember when I, in the 90s, so I would have been in my 30s, you know, I went in the doctor's office and they had one of these self-assessment about drinking, you know, and asked you 20 questions. And I think I answered 17 with yes. And the key at the end said, if you answered more than four questions yes, you should talk to your doctor.
Wow.
And, you know, my response was, oh, these fucking idiots. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right, sure. Denial, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's like, well, all my friends, they drink like this. So, yeah, this is just
perfectly normal. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, being a good alcoholic, I surrounded myself with people who drank like me. So, yeah. And wealthy, high-performing people. Like, I'm a wealthy, high-performing alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of us. And we do get a lot of shit done in life. Pardon my language here.
Yeah, no, let it fly.
You know, and yes, there is a lot of drinking. No one thinks anything going out to dinner and having two or three drinks before, you know, the dinner and the bottle of wine each.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's seven or eight drinks in one sitting.
No, yeah, it definitely makes you, you know, put things in perspective and rethink things. That's for sure.
If we go back to business, though.
Sure.
So, you know, your dream huge, right, is the title of your podcast. So
yes.
Part of what my work is as a coach and a facilitator is to help people to actually first dream big. And often we get in our own way. Like, we actually have the potential to go someplace really big, but then we get stuck on, well, I don't know how to get there, or, you know, or I don't believe that I can actually do that. So some of, you know, what I work on in strategic planning, one of the things that Vern Harnish taught me that was like a radical thought. So I'm with a software company for 20 years, and basically strategic planning was, you know, do a little better than last year and, you know, incrementally improve it. And there's nothing wrong with that. We made a lot of money with that approach because we had a very niche market, which was very high value. But, you know, Vern's thing is, where do you want to be in 3 to 5 years? What's your vision for what that looks like? Figure that out and then work backwards to what you need to do this year, and then work backwards to what you need to do the next quarter.
Right.
So, and that's not a natural process for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Sure. Yeah. I'm guilty of the first. Yeah. Let's do a little bit more than last year. That's me all day long. But yeah, you're saying we need to step back. We need to look further out, and we need to set plans for 3 to 5 years and then reverse engineer that.
Yes. And like, are you really living to your full potential by just incrementally improving where you are?
Absolutely.
And maybe you are, and maybe you're totally happy with where you are. Like, again, I'm perfectly okay with that. My work as a coach, my number one ask to clients is make a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Like, if that works for you, fantastic. Just make a conscious choice about it. But if you feel like you have more to offer to the world, that you can have bigger impact, you can bring more change, or you have a bigger vision, then why don't we talk about where you want to be in 3 or 5 years?
Right.
And let's come up with a plan that'll set you down that road.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it sounds excellent to me, you know, and being a coach and having a coach, there's, you know, you're going to push them along. You're also going to hold them accountable is what I would think and hope. And Mark and I were talking before the pod, actually, we had another, or we heard it somewhere where some super successful individual had a coach for many aspects of their lives. So in other words, they mm-hmm. had a health and nutrition coach. They had a fitness coach. They had a yep. public speaking coach. They had a you know, an entrepreneurial coach. So I think there's definitely value there, and it will push you beyond your comfort zone, and it'll push you to new growth. So I think that's a tremendous thing that you offer. Now, curious. So when you bring on clients, are you seeing more failing entrepreneurs that really need help? Or are you seeing more entrepreneurs that are doing well but just need to do more?
I would say more of the latter.
Yep.
You know, they're stuck on something. Like either they've had a recent crisis that's really scared them, or they're in crisis. That's another reason why they end up coming to me. None of them are like, there's more here. I don't know exactly what it is. And I want some help to figure it out. And I have very strong word of mouth referral. So that really helps, that, you know, people can share with others in a meaningful way what they've got out of their work with me. So that others can, because, you know, it's kind of hard. It sounds really soft to begin with, although I do a lot of those things that you said. Like, as an entrepreneur, no one keeps you accountable as a general rule of thumb. You know, unless you have a board.
Right.
Like, if you have outside investors and a board, then there's probably some feet to the fire. But if you're an owner, founder, and grew it from scratch, you know, and have decent cash flow, there's no one really holding you accountable.
That's a great point.
And also, the skills that let you start a business and grow it to a certain stage are not the same skills that let you run a business successfully.
The E-Myth. A great book.
The which myth?
A great book called The E-Myth explains that point exactly.
Yes. And so few, at least first-time entrepreneurs, have enough self-awareness to realize. Like, it took me a long time to realize that, like, you don't really, even though I'm a very competent manager, you don't really want me to manage a well-oiled, you know, running machine, because I get my excitement in, you know, fixing things and overcoming challenges. So it's like, I'll throw a wrench in it so it breaks apart so I get something to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, not consciously, but it's what I end up doing. Because I'm just bored. I'm, you know, it's like, this is not interesting enough.
I understand. So,
and then entrepreneurs often will come to me because they're like, well, you know, I keep telling people to do things, they don't do it. And then you start digging around. It's like, well, it's because you keep snatching back the steering wheel.
Right.
Like, you tell them that they have control and they can do it their way, and you know, figure it out. But then when you don't like what's happening, like you wrench control back and step back in. And so, you know, everyone around you learns, well, you don't really mean it. So why stick my neck out? Like, why take the risk?
Yes. Yes.
It's like a dog.
So walk someone there had a question. Go for it.
Oh, no. I think Justin just had a comment.
I was just saying, like, that my analogy for what you said is like a dog. Like, they're walking. They kind of get to know you, and then they bite back. And then they're nice again, and they bite back. It's like, do you trust me or not?
They keep yanking that wheel back. Yeah. They give them the wheel, but then they yank it back.
Do you like me or not?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, now, your coaching services specifically, what does that cost to get started? How does that look?
How it starts is that we have a coaching call because we need to figure out whether we can work together. And then out of that conversation comes, like, some people would like, you know, in the first 3 months would like me once a week.
Sure.
So that's structured differently. Like, my base is a fixed monthly fee for 2 one-hour calls a month. And I don't put it on podcasts and stuff because these live for years.
Sure, yeah.
And right. My prices do change over time,
but
right?
The thing is, like you said, just call and let's have a conversation and let's go from there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
And because I tell you, sometimes I have a conversation, I'll be honest, sometimes I have a conversation with people and at the end, I'm like, I don't think we can work together.
Right, right.
Yeah, interview process.
No, sure, like, absolutely.
And only hire a coach who you really relate to, or, you know, like, if I don't respect you and you don't respect me, then it's not going to work. And I don't want you to hire me just to hire me. Do you know what I mean? I want you to, if you want a coach, I want you to have the best coach for you. And that might not be me.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. I would much, much rather that you had the best coach for you.
So will you dive into, like, their business segment and kind of help them figure out where the opportunities are, or what does that look like?
I can. I do, because I've done really senior leadership roles in marketing and, you know, have a decade in marketing and sales. Plus, I mean, we were pretty good at marketing in the software company. You know, I bring a certain amount of expertise in that area. But again, it's like, I am not going to be expert in any vertical. So all I can come with is some really good questions. And I can listen to what you're telling me and suggest maybe you don't understand your market as well as you think you do. Or perhaps you should go think about these questions about your market that maybe you've never thought of before.
Sure. Sometimes it's great just to have an outsider's perspective, an objective point of view to kind of open your eyes, right? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as a coach, I really, for the most part, I don't really have the answers. What I have is really great questions.
That's a great point. The answers are with the client.
Thought-provoking
questions.
The
client has the answers. You're just bringing the answers out of them.
Right.
I have really, really good listening skills. And I listen more than just the words. Like, even I just, before this call, I had a call with a longtime client, and I was listening to the emotional content of where he was at and checked in with him a couple times on that, because it was quite an emotional call. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily in the words. It was in the silences.
Sure.
It was how he was saying it.
The tone.
Yeah. So that's part of my skill set, is I've built a lot of really consciously and through formal coach training and other ways, built some really strong listening. So asking good questions and being able to really listen deeply for what the answers are.
Yeah.
And use that to inform, like, what the next question is. And at the end of the day, you know, if I have suggestions, it's like, in my experience, you know, it's door number one or door number two or door number three. Like, would you like to explore any of those doors?
Right, right.
You know, the client says, no, I don't relate to any of those. Okay, no problem. Like, what do you relate to? What do you think would be the next right thing for you to do?
Mm-hmm. Get them to open up and find the answer themselves.
Yeah, and as Coach Kevin told me in our very first conversation, it's like he might probably know the best path of action for me. But he'll just point it out or suggest it, leave it up to me. And, you know, if I go down the rabbit hole and create a big mess, then he's there for me afterwards to clean it up.
Right. Right.
Seriously.
Sure, yeah.
Like, so it's not for me to say you shouldn't go have that experience, even though, you know, I got some pretty serious scar tissue that says what that might be, it's probably going to be like.
Yeah.
Because the most important thing for you may be to have that, go through that experience and earn that scar tissue. And I can't know that.
Mm-hmm. Man, yeah, it sounds like you can really, really get deep and help folks out at the root problem and just move forward and, you know, get it out there and get past it and continue to focus on growth and helping others. I love it.
Yeah, just I'll add one more thing. The other thing I think as a coach is really seeing growth in people and being able to let them know that when they're not able to, like the growth is kind of really small baby steps, but you can, as a coach, I can really see they've come like some serious, maybe it's 2 yards down the path, but it's like 2 yards that they've been trying most of their life to go down and with zero movement. And I can reflect back to them, wow, are you making a lot of progress? And help them to see the 2 yards they've gone down the path, which can be incredibly empowering for people. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. I am making progress.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Especially changing the way that they behave in the world or look at things. Like, this is hard stuff. It doesn't come easy to any of us. So having someone who can actually reflect, you know, fairly the progress that you've made, that is, I think, one of the other big skills I bring to the table as a coach.
Love it.
I agree.
Yeah. Not only checking in, but showing them and reminding them of their progress along the way.
You get lost.
Yeah.
You know, you're running down the path and you get lost. All the things you did on the way there.
Sure.
You know.
Or I always start calls with asking clients, like, you know, share 3 or 4 wins from, you know, the last day or the last week. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how often, I did this and this and this. So you're telling me that, like, that you uncovered your entire financial model was broke and that you figured out how to fix it. Like, again, they just kind of lay it out there as this little tiny, tiny thing when I'm like, wow, like we should be singing from the rafters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the you know, the progress that you've made, like, this is something to celebrate.
And, I agree. Sure. Most people may be too modest,
I resonate with that. Yeah. I think it's because I'm hard on myself, so then I don't necessarily celebrate myself.
Oh, that's no big deal, but really it was.
Yeah. Like, right. I have a lender who's the same way. He's like, dude, look how far you've come in just 2 years. And I don't even realize it until he starts telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Love it. All right. Mr. Coach David J. Greer, appreciate you so far, man. Thank you for taking the time. Before we let you go, though, I want to discuss your book, Wind in Your Sails, and 10 strategies that will help entrepreneurs succeed, if you wouldn't mind discussing that with us a little bit.
Sure. So, you know, this book is oriented towards newer or owner founders who've only ever had like one business, not so much like serial entrepreneurs or really experienced entrepreneurs, just so people know where I'm kind of targeting it. My belief is there's 10 like functional areas in a business, and that's the 10 strategies. And my experience is for the kind of people like, you know, relatively new or owner founders have grown their own, they'll have 3 or 4 they're super good at, 3 or 4 that they're aware of and do okay with, and probably 2 they maybe never have heard of. So some of it is just raising awareness around all of that. And then, you know, it's a little bit of theory about each of those areas, and then a lot of practical stories of how you actually can implement it and do something about it. So it's designed to be, you know, an action book. You can read it cover to cover and, you know, have a lot more insight and knowledge about your business, or you can just, you know, be stuck with a problem, go look up the right chapter for that problem and have a couple ideas for what to do next. To create the book, I interviewed over 45 entrepreneurs and sales and marketing leaders. And a lot of their feedback is actually in the book. So a third of the book is other people's content. So you not only get like all the scar tissue and lessons that I've learned in 40 years of business, you also get, and every chapter ends in a case study featuring an entrepreneur that I felt was really good in the particular strategy that I was talking about in that chapter. So you have a really concrete case study ending every chapter with their experience, strength, and hope.
Man, excellent.
And then, of course, because I'm a sailor, every chapter opens with a sailing story. It's a metaphor for what I'm trying to get across for the chapter.
I know that feeling.
Very cool. I cannot wait to check out this book, man. It sounds very good. We are all big readers here. We've got the unofficial Dream Huge Book Club, so you're definitely in. We're going to put you on the list. Yeah, I can't wait to read that. Is it on Audible by chance? Amazon Audible?
Yes, it is.
Oh, baby, we're definitely going to listen to it now. We're definitely going to read it now. Yes. Are you narrating, or did you have someone narrate? Or read it, I should say.
I did have someone narrate, although it's someone I chose whose voice is very close to mine.
Okay. Man, excited for that. Going to put that on the list. And that is called Wind in Your Sails, Coach David J. Greer. Yep. So we're excited for that. Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today. Anything else you wanted to touch on before we let you get going with your busy day, sir?
Nope. Just, you know, my website is CoachDJGreer.com. It's D as in David, J as in James, CoachDJGreer.com. My phone number, my emails, right there on the homepage. Like I say, my offer's there. If you're an entrepreneur, you're feeling stuck and you got a challenge you really would like to talk to someone else about, let's set something up.
Excellent. There he is, Coach David J. Greer. Awesome job. Thank you for coming on the Dream Huge Podcast. And thank you, listeners. Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast with Mark Gray, Justin Bigelow, and myself, Pete Peterson. Please remember to review, subscribe, and share. And as always, remember the rules. Work hard, never give up, and dream huge.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Huge Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more inspiring content, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Dream Huge Realty and on TikTok at Dream Huge Inc. Until next time.